So Glenn Close...
Wait a minute, Austin. What? Turn that thing off and put it away. We're in a theater.
No, we're doing a podcast specifically, not during a performance. This is exactly what we're talking about.
Still seems rude to me.
Yeah. To shove a microphone in your face?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And the screen is all bright and it's distracting me. I'm trying to get ready for the show.
So Glenn Close...
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 548, What About Cell Phones? The Tony Awards were last night, and Glenn Close was a presenter, and Patti LuPone performed a terrible song from the musical War Paint. And both Ms. Close and Ms. LuPone have had infamous run-ins with audience members recently who were taking pictures or using their phones during performances. While we were performing at the Virginia Arts Festival a few weeks ago, Reed Martin, Teddy Spencer, and I had been having a dressing room conversation about this very thing when we realized we better turn the microphone on and start the conversation again. As I was trying to say, Glenn Close recently stopped a performance of Sunset Boulevard because somebody, some idiot in the audience, was taking pictures or video with his or her phone in the middle of the show. And by all accounts, Ms. Close got a huge round of applause from the rest of the audience. Is that really what should be happening? Should we really be stopping performances? Reed Martin feels strongly no.
Well, I just put me on the spot. I just think, moving forward, I just have a feeling this is going to be something that's going to continue to be an issue.
All the more reason I would say, too, that she needs to combat it now.
Well, to me, I was in our earlier conversation, it's a little bit like, you know, oh, you shouldn't use microphones in the theater because you want to hear the human voice and the microphones ruin it.
Yeah.
You know, technology changes. I think it could be it's a way to promote the show. I mean, why do we go to a rock concert and there's intense and moving and emotional songs, mm-hmm. and everybody has their phones out and they're bright and nobody's bothered? I kind of liken it to at a golf or a tennis match. Everybody has to be quiet because you don't want to distract the athletes.
Yeah.
And then you go to a football or basketball or baseball or soccer game and everybody's screaming. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying you should be annoying in the audience, but I think moving forward, I would be very curious in 10 or 20 years to see if cell phones become an acceptable part of the experience.
Right. Well, and Sunset Boulevard is a different kind of a show than our shows, because if it were happening in our shows, we would and have stopped the show. You've stopped the show many times about people taking pictures and whatever. And but I was also thinking, remember we played China last fall?
Mm-hmm.
You weren't there, Teddy. It was
no.
Dan Zasky. But we were playing China last fall. And the culturally there, they're on their phones. The thing is, though, they're not taking pictures of the performers to save it as a souvenir. They're just on their phones Googling because that's what they do.
Well, and here's the thing.
Yeah.
They're all on their phones, and yeah, it's distracting to me, but I'm not sure it's distracting to all the other audience members because many of them are doing the same thing. I'm not sure it isn't.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it is.
Right.
What's really distracting is all the ushers with these laser pointers from the back of the house and running up and down the aisle and laser dots all over the audience. It's like the solution is more distracting than the problem.
Well, no, I disagree. Because it was annoying as f***, as the kids say, for me and all of us, I think.
Well, I think you're a tennis player and I'm a baseball player.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a bunch of fat guys out in the field kind of going, hey, I want to throw a ball around, instead of sort of peak athletes doing their work.
Yes. Bobby Riggs, yeah.
Bobby Riggs.
And let me say, yes, when I'm doing a show and somebody's on the phone, it can be distracting. I'm not saying it isn't distracting.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I think it might be a losing battle.
Yeah.
I think culture is changing. Also, Teddy and I were saying, you know, in a year or two or five, the screens might not be bright. Right? So people could be on their phones taking pictures or whatever, and it's maybe not distracting anyone.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I mean, it comes down to what kind of culture do you want to create, right? Like, I think Brecht would be, like, all about the cell phones because he wanted that, like, sports-like atmosphere in the theater. Do you want that kind of interaction back and forth? But then does the cell phone stop that interaction because people are distracted? And then also I was thinking, we're very early on in the grand scheme of things, in the usage of cell phones. You know, cell phones have been around for, what, 15 years, 15, 20?
20 years.
Yeah, and smartphones much less than that.
Yeah,
and
right.
Humans are still learning to cope and deal with those things and to have that distraction all the time. So, you know, maybe, you know, like you're saying, in China, where it's not distracting, maybe they're ahead of us in regards to how their relationship and how they interact with their phones and with each other.
Well, here's the other thing. Theaters are saying, you know, it used to be we just put, you know, we'd send out our season brochure, people would subscribe, you put an ad in the paper, and, you know, we were covered. We had, you know, we had done our marketing. And now people are trying to figure out, how do you do your marketing? And, you know, they'll say, well, at intermission, turn on your phone and tweet. Or remember, after the show, turn on your phone and tell all your friends. But in today's culture, people do it sort of instantaneously. So I don't know what the answer is, but I think it might actually be helpful in selling tickets.
Well, and if that were the photographer's goal, that might be one thing. But clearly, she was just being rude and taking a picture, because I want to take a picture of Glenn Close. If anything, Glenn Close stopping the show was a better marketing tool, you know, because it got more press and more ink. And she also said, she said, we can either have a performance or a press conference. You know, stop taking photographs. It isn't. It's just rude to me. You bought a ticket to see a show. You didn't buy a ticket to get a personal souvenir, and I get to cut off some of your clothes.
And, but is that different from a rock concert? Are you not allowed to take a picture of, you know, whatever rock star you're seeing? You've paid it for a concert, not a press conference.
Well, I agree, but I think a rock concert is different than a play. You know, I mean, I think.
But my question is, doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
I think they. No, doesn't have to be. No. But I think they are.
Well, what we were talking about also yesterday was, if you're stopping the show to be like, hey, that's distracting, you're distracting people around you, you're kind of, you know, stepping on your own foot, because you're creating even more of a distraction than right. the person who was creating the distraction in the audience. So,
And I've noticed this too. I think we all have.
Yeah.
Somebody will be, say, chatting or crinkling. We've had company members yeah. who, when somebody's crinkling a wrapper in the audience, we're acting with them, and they're just furious, yeah. right? Yeah. And you and I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
And probably nobody in the audience did. Now, yeah. I'm not, you know, this might have been an egregious thing where it was all lit up. They
right.
were standing up and filming,
right.
you know.
And it typically doesn't seem to happen unless it's a big star like Glenn Close or Patti LuPone or Hugh Jackman, and right. then those big stars have to stop the show, and the entire audience applauds them.
Right. For, well, if you and I stop the show
right.
and tell them that doesn't make the news.
No.
But,
no.
But my point was,
and
I'm not sure it's as distracting to the audience as it is to the performer.
No, and we've done it both ways. Yes,
yeah.
We've stopped to somebody in the front row thinking it's going to get a reaction, and nobody knew it was happening.
Yeah.
But we've also done it the other way, where we have stopped somebody who's just being annoying and people applaud.
And the celebrity thing is interesting, too, because if I'm performing at a show, you know, in a 100-seat house in the Bay Area somewhere, and I stop the show and, you know, call someone out, I doubt I'm going to get resounding applause from the entire audience.
Right.
So, you know, is it people that are, for that same reason that person's taking pictures of that celebrity, that they're, you know, affirming what that celebrity has done and being like, yeah, you know, that was a great choice because yeah. they are who they are?
Yeah.
Well, there's another thing. I mean, there's a lot of things one can do on stage to get applause, and it doesn't
yeah.
necessarily mean it's the right thing
yeah.
to do. You know,
right.
so the
but,
fact
I mean,
that the celebrity stops the show and comments on it and gets applause doesn't necessarily, I don't know, I'm not convinced that.
Well, but they're applauding, I think, because somebody has finally taken action against a rude person. I think the whole audience is on the side of the person who has stopped this rude person from being rude. So that's how I interpret mm-hmm. it. I remember when I did that play at Looking Glass 3 years ago, and which is a very intimate, realistic drama about comic drama about Charles Darwin and his wife and family and their relationship. And there's a guy in the second row with his phone out and an earpiece in, watching the hockey playoffs. And it's annoying because, you know, it's that one. You know how you're always annoyed by that one. The whole audience is laughing, and there's one guy in the front row who's frowning, and that's the guy you're pissed off about. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the guy we were pissed off about. This guy watching the hockey playoffs, and I played the butler in that play. And because we had done the Renew Shakespeare Company shows, I was ready right now to go out and just quietly lead that gentleman out of the hall. So if he wants to watch the hockey game, go out in the fucking lobby to do it.
Well, here's
a, but it's to finish the point. But it's also a failure of the front of house staff. The front of house people should be monitoring this thing so the actors don't and the other audience members aren't disturbed about it. I think that's how I feel about it.
Well, and it's the style of our show to stop and
yeah.
interrupt. So one question, Was everybody in the audience aware of this guy, or were the actors aware of this guy?
Yeah, well, the people around him were certainly aware of him. And so it's not the whole audience, right. But it's those, whatever, 5 to 10 people immediately around him going, come on, idiot, right. Put your phone away.
You know, it could be along the lines of moving forward, you're welcome to use your phone in the back 6 rows.
Yeah.
Then everybody in front's not going to see it. Yeah. If you want to take pictures or watch the hockey game or whatever, you're sitting in the – it's like the smoking sections used to be.
Yeah, right. And I think that has been done. I mean, there have been theaters that have tried this is a live tweet performance or whatever. You can have your phone out, which I'm all in favor of. I absolutely think that's a very cool idea and might be the wave of the future that you're kind of talking about.
As long as everybody has that understanding going into it.
Hi, I'm Ken Ludwig, a playwright and author of Lend Me a Tenor, Crazy for You, Baskerville, and the new book, How to Teach Your Children Shakespeare, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? You can go to our YouTube channel. You can interact with us on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. And, of course, the RSC podcast is not going anywhere, and all 10 years of it are available on our website. In August, you'll be able to see James Percy, Matt Pearson, and Joe Maudsley performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Gilded Balloon in Edinburgh. This fall, starting in September, you can see us perform all the great books Abridged, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged, and the ultimate Christmas show Abridged across the U.S. in Culver and South Bend, Indiana, West Long Branch, New Jersey, Aiken, South Carolina, Davis, California, Laramie, Wyoming, these dates have just been added to our schedule, Asheville, North Carolina, Maryville, Tennessee, Somerville, New Jersey, Algona, Iowa, and Reston, Virginia. And also this September, you can see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised in Hong Kong and Singapore. Tickets are on sale now. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to our conversation about cell phone distractions at a point in which Teddy Spencer is giving us a bit of historical context.
And thinking about it in a Shakespearean context, I think Shakespeare would like that at that time, everyone, if there were phones, everyone would have been on their phones and, just like they were drinking and throwing food around and whatever.
And talking back to the actors and the actors talking to the audience. Yeah. And that's our style.
They would definitely be, updating their Facebook and Instagramming everything during the show.
Well, and I wish, in all the shows that I've directed that are not Reduced Shakespeare Company, I've always encouraged the actors, look, if something happens, if you drop the phone, pick up the phone. If you drop a prop, pick it up. If the audience comes in late, you can deal with it. If something happens, deal with it, tell the truth. So in that sense, I absolutely applaud Glenn Close for doing that because something was happening.
Yeah. Well, another thing, you could have the back so many rows are the cell phone area, you're welcome to use your phones, and that's a given. You could also have cell phone performances.
Yeah.
We know that every Tuesday night is everybody can bring your cell phone and use them throughout the performance or something like that.
I love that. I do love that idea because then it becomes specifically that kind of an event and everybody knows it's that kind of event, as you were saying earlier. If you go in to see Sunset Boulevard and it's very, I've never seen Sunset Boulevard, but I imagine it's over the top Andrew Lloyd Webber, very intense, and people are really into it, and then there's this person.
It's actually a blessing that somebody's using a cell phone.
Right, in a way. In a way. I mean, I know when I'm going to a movie theater and there's somebody sitting in front of me on their phone, it's enormously distracting because I'm trying to focus on the image ahead, not be distracted by this blue light in the foreground.
I'm also curious. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm in like a in-between spot, but for younger audience members who have grown up with that technology in their faces all the time, if that is a distraction at all to them or not, because they've seen it forever, and so it's just part of their world that they've known.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's a little bit like you made an analogy earlier about microphones. It might be closer to the fact that people no longer dress up to go to the theater.
Yeah.
It's a much more casual experience, and so is this. But I would still argue there are places where you could just put away your goddamn phone for a couple of hours. A classroom, church, the theater, whatever. Pay respect to the thing that's happening, unless the thing that is happening is one of these, special live tweeting performances or whatever.
And I'm being being totally two-faced. As a performer, I would rather somebody was not on their cell phone while I'm performing. And yes, I will stop and tell them, hey, could you put that away? So I'm totally talking out of both sides of my mouth.
Out of your what?
Yes, exactly.
Well, and as you were saying, there's something to be said about keeping kind of that sacred space, and that, you know, that we do agree that this is a place where those things get put aside for 2 hours or whatever, and we can let those things go and focus on one thing together as a group.
But is the question, we don't want people using cell phones, or we don't like the distraction of the screen, because it's kind of two separate things. If somebody was sitting, I mentioned this earlier.
It is.
If the screen was not bright and somebody was taking pictures and saying, I'm at this show, would that bother us? Or it wouldn't bother me if I don't know they're doing it.
Well, and I don't think it would bother other audience members if they knew they were doing it. I mean, I know there's, you know, there's laws against it, or I think there are laws. You can't take a picture of a movie. You can't take a picture. There are equity rules against taking photographs. Those are not laws, but the actors don't have to perform if people are taking their pictures surreptitiously or illegally.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I do the same thing. You know, I've absolutely been known to kind of sneak my phone out and check out what time is it? How long is it play? Yeah. I've got to sit here for another 2 hours?
See, I've solved that. I'm very old-fashioned. I still wear a watch. Yeah.
That's very, very quaint.
Isn't that quaint? And it doesn't light up.
It doesn't light up.
Yeah, is it more distracting or you know, to pick up my program because I'm bored in the middle of a show and start rifling through my program? And that's also distracting, but that's okay. So,
well, and I laugh at people who are complaining about people walk down the street now with their eyes buried in their phones. I used to walk down the street with my eyes buried in a book or newspapers. People on trains and buses ignore each other and they're on their phones. Yeah, they used to be on their newspapers. You know, I don't understand the problem. I mean, for me, I think it's coming down to the sacred idea that this is a space where we're not that it's more important than anything else, but that we're all gathered here communally to do this one thing. And to don't distract me from the one thing that I'm here to do.
But sort of going back to what Teddy said and sort of combining with you said, if somebody was sitting in the audience quietly reading a book, would that infuriate you the way a cell phone does? Because we're talking about, well, we're all here to do this one thing. If I'm bored and I'm reading the program or a book, people don't seem to react so strongly to that.
It would if I were a performer, because it would be that one person I was going, what the fuck's the matter with that guy?
Right.
You know? But if I were in an audience.
If one person is not laughing.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying if I were a performer, it would. Absolutely. As an audience member, I don't think it would. Yeah. Because it's like, okay, you're asleep, you're bored, that's fine. Keep it to yourself. Don't spoil it for everybody else.
And I've talked to people that work at Shakespeare Festivals where there are groups of people that come and they read they read the play along with the performance, and they're not watching the show, they're listening and reading, and you know, so that's a totally other thing too.
And anybody we've talked about the Writers Theater in Glencoe near where I live before, but every actor I've talked to who's ever worked there goes, oh yeah, today's audience was 75% asleep because they have such an older audience. Now, that's an interesting question. I think I might prefer people on my phones taking pictures to an audience full of sleeping people.
Well, our response is we quietly stop talking, and then we sneak up on the person and go,
problem is, when you quiet down, people you're sleeping, and then they sense everything's gone quiet. Wait. Yeah. Oh, no, the actors are right in my face.
Yeah, that's happened more than once. They're fast asleep, and then we quiet down to sneak up on them, and they wake up.
It must be intermission. Yeah, I could go get something to drink.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. Send us your thoughts about distractions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You could also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner, and the RSC is now on Instagram too, @ReducedShakespeareCompany. Thanks, as always, to Major Distraction with or without a cell phone, Matthew Croak. Web services by Ginger Power Limited. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Stacey Taylor. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ken Ludwig, author of Lend Me a Tenor, the musical Crazy for You, and the wonderful book How to Teach Your Children Shakespeare. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 548 1634ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. All right, we've come to no conclusions about the state of this issue.
Oh, I have.
Oh, you read, except for Reed. Reed's come to a conclusion. If you have thoughts, you need to tweet us your thoughts, preferably during a performance of some live theater event.
Yes, that's the best way to do it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.